where we are in terms of the problems, the risk, the frequency of cardiac disease around echocardiography.
Our healthcare system is urban-based. And so if you live in rural America, it may take you 2 to 4 or 5 hours to drive to an urban center to get a cardiac echo or another type of test. And so that's where I'm really excited about a lot of the AI technologies, is they're democratizing healthcare.
Hi, my name is Tim Cohen, and welcome to Vital Conversations. Here we talk with various leaders across the healthcare industry about interesting things going on, and we're going to have a very unique and interesting conversation today. I'm pleased to have as our guest Ron Guillot. Ron wears a lot of hats. Going to have him give us a brief bio on those, and then we're going to take a look at one thing in particular that he does. It's kind of unique. He's very seasoned early stage healthcare investor. We're going to dive into that a bit. Ron, welcome, and thanks for being on Vital Conversations.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to see you, and nice to be here.
Yeah, you do have something of a renaissance resume, done a lot of different things that give you a really unique point of view. Give our audience just a brief update on what you've done and what has led you to this role of investing in early stage healthcare and med tech companies.
Yeah, sure. No, thanks for asking, Tim. 37 years ago, and angioplasty, when cardiac angioplasty, vascular angioplasty was just coming to the market, I was one of the earliest angioplasty reps in the country. Years before we had stents, right? So we sold IVUS, rotoblader, ultrasound, intravascular ultrasound, all types of cutting edge new technologies. And over the years in cardiology, I did a little bit of early stage investing from time to time. Then at one point, though, with Medtronic, they actually paid for me to go get an MBA. I did that. I went in-house as a product manager, U.S. marketing manager, and eventually out to the field as a director and vice president of sales. And at that point, I started doing a little bit more startup investing, mostly in cardiology, but I've done other areas in the health tech space as well.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about cardiology. So it'll kind of cover the span of your professional career. And we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to dive into one particular company. It's got some AI technology, which, you know, we all hear about, but this is some real stuff. Let you tell us a little bit about why you're excited about this opportunity. And then we'll sort of telescope back up and kind of get your point of view for physician practices as they look at emerging, not only information technology, but clinical technology and kind of what you've learned over the years. But before we jump into this particular opportunity, you've been around cardiac for a long time. You've got some real passion about cardiac health and some things that we can do. Frame up a little bit for us kind of where we are in terms of the problems, the risk, the frequency of cardiac disease, and then this very specific problem that we've got around echocardiography.
Well, a lot of it, Tim, and I think you probably know this with your background, is just patient access in the United States and a lot of countries outside of the United States. Our healthcare system is urban-based, right?
Right.
And so if you live in rural America, it may take you 2 to 4 or 5 hours to drive to an urban center to get a cardiac echo, to get a cardiac CT or another type of test. And so that's where I'm really excited about a lot of the AI technologies is that they're democratizing healthcare, letting us get our tests quicker and with actionable data to providers who then can get us therapeutics. And we have great therapeutics happening today too that are advancing along with the AI on diagnostics and therapeutics.
So let's talk about the cardio echo problem specifically that Ultracyte that you're going to tell us about is trying to address. What's the problem? Besides the fact that if I live in rural America, I might not actually be close to an echo machine and a sonographer. But the problem's even bigger than that from a shortage of staff standpoint, right?
Yeah, it is. You obviously did a little bit of homework before today's call, Tim. It is a large problem. Most of us in healthcare, and even not in healthcare, hear about the nursing shortage, right? We have a
Correct.
huge nursing shortage in America today. We also have a sonographer shortage. We have almost 25,000 open sonographer positions in America right now. And many places in rural America do not have a sonographer. They don't have a machine to let you do cardiac ultrasound, right? And that's why I'm so excited about what UltraSight is doing.
So we got 25,000 shortage. How long in today's world does it take to get someone through the education process, certified and proficient, to put them on a machine where they can begin to do echoes? What's the training cycle?
A good year.
A
A
good
good
year.
year to get somebody trained. And then remember, you have to be mentored. You have to get out there and practice and then be able to mentor others,
Okay.
right?
All
And
right.
so cardiac echo, there's over 10 million done in the United States a year.
Wow.
And the demand for cardiac echo is growing much faster than the humans able to perform them.
I assume that that year's worth of training is I need a lot of clinical precision. I'm operating a machine, trying to create a three-dimensional picture of something I can't see. I'm trying to capture muscle action. I'm trying to capture fluid dynamic. Like, it takes a lot of stuff, right, to get to a place that a sonographer will produce an image that a cardiologist can find helpful. Is that the reason it takes so long?
It is. You are looking at many structures, blood flow. You're looking at stents. Is my drug working, right, for heart failure patients? Is the drug working? It's a very, it's a strong skill set that not everybody has, can get trained to do.
All right. So I've got 25,000 openings. I've got the need to pair a tech with the machine, and I've got a long training cycle. Into that problem steps a company that has caught your attention from an investor standpoint. Tell us about UltraSight and what are they trying to do, and why, from your standpoint as an early stage investor, is this interesting?
Yeah, many reasons. And one other stat that I'd like to share, 50% of counties in the U.S., 50% do not have a cardiologist, right? So we call those cardiology deserts, right?
So now
And
I may
so,
not have a sonographer, I may not have a machine, but even if I did, I don't have a cardiologist who's sitting on the back end reading that exam and deciding therapeutically where we go. Okay, so big problem. What's UltraSight? Who are they, and what are they trying to do to solve this problem?
So UltraSight, I think it's going to revolutionize what's happening in cardiac echo. First of all, cardiac echo has become the most common test, most common diagnostic for cardiac patients. It's how we catch patients and figure out, do you have something? Do you need to go to another test? Or are you fine? Right? And so it is the most common test. It's also doesn't give any radiation, right? And that's really important. So a lot of patients, it's easy. There's reimbursement. And as long as you have access to it, it gets the patient on their pathway to where they need to go and or where they don't have to go.
So how's UltraSight trying to solve the problem?
Yeah, so what UltraSight is doing, one, we have problems with inpatient and outpatient, right? So inpatient, ICU, patients on the floor, patients come into an ED. In those settings, you have to call for a stat sonographer. Cardiac echo is mostly a Monday through Friday test. Especially for us, if we were coming in from an outpatient. What UltraSight is FDA approved for is to allow any healthcare professional to be able to do a cardiac ultrasound. And we're talking 6 hours of training.
Okay.
6 hours of training. So a doctor in rural America, one cardiologist, and their assistant, their medical assistant.
So you can train a medical assistant to do an echo, a satisfactory echo at 6 hours, when historically you're telling me I need 12 months worth of training.
That's correct. Now, what Ultrasight does with the AI, with the software, is it allows me to put that probe with training on the patient's heart. It will tell me a little more force, turn, up, right? What direction? It's going to give me, or give a cardiologist, a good enough image that he or she can say, patient has A, B, or C, and the patient needs to go here or get this drug or have that done. So it is going to be
conversely rule out cardiac issues, right? Somebody shows up in the ER and say chest pain, bells and alarms go off because we care about cardiac stuff, but maybe that is a GI problem. Maybe that is a something else. So can you eliminate cardiac risk as well as identifying?
Absolutely, you can eliminate them. And so what Ultrasight allows now, rural America, it may cost you $120,000, $150,000 to have a cardiac echo, and you have to have a sonographer. With Ultrasight, all that is needed now is a tablet and a probe. And Ultrasight is going to be agnostic to all the OEMs.
Okay.
So all the probes out there are going to work with Ultrasight. So if I'm in rural America, and in Colorado, where we are here, we have plenty of rural hospitals.
Yeah.
I will be able, with a tablet and a probe, to be able to do a cardiac echo and send it to a cardiologist in an urban center who can then say, hospital, we need to get this patient helicoptered, admitted to another hospital, or that patient could stay home, have them see a cardiologist on Monday morning. Right.
So this is both a significant reduction in the capital expense to buy the equipment. I'm assuming a tablet and a probe is a lot less than 120 grand, as well as a massive reduction in the training time, which says, like, literally a medical assistant. It doesn't have to be a nurse, doesn't have to be.
Okay. No.
Could a primary care office in rural America have someone on their staff that could train and could you potentially put this even in a primary care location for screening purposes?
Absolutely. And I see that happening. We also think about this, Tim. You can't, cancer patients, they cannot get chemotherapy until they get an echo. Okay. They're often getting cardiac echoes. There's two companies I'm aware of out there being run by cardiology CEOs. One is called Ventricle Health. One is called Novalink. They are going to see patients at their homes.
Okay.
These are high acuity patients. They are very, very excited about being able to do cardiac ultrasound at a patient's bedside at home. We have CAR T therapy that is being done more at home today. And there's entities that are taking patients after a CAR T therapy and taking them home. They can now have cardiac echo done at home.
So by lowering substantially both the capital cost on the equipment and the training time and the skill set required to get a quality image that can be used, not only is it reducing the cost for the people that today do echoes in the hospital, but it's opening up all new avenues. What does this mean? Does this mean that we will be able to not only cover those cardiac deserts, but does this mean primary care physicians can more easily and affordably use a screening echo for a patient that, as part of their regular management, they've got some cardiac risk in their family, they may have some risk symptoms? Is it, do you see this kind of becoming part of some people's annual physical exam with their primary?
That's a good question. I don't want to speak for the company. You know, I'm approaching this as an investor and why I, you know, like their business model and see what they're doing. I do think there are primary cares in rural America who are going to want to do this, versus sending them 2 or 3 or 4 hours, right, to get a cardiac echo. From a business standpoint, an investor standpoint, you know, I like that all of a sudden at 2 in the morning, if you have a patient in the ICU, you don't have to call a sonographer in. You can have an ICU nurse or a tech or an MA who's trained on the floor to go do that cardiac echo. And to me, that is a huge deal. You know, we hear a lot about hospital to home, Tim, today. Yeah. We're trying to do these heart failure programs at home. Patients can now get a cardiac echo at home. The same with these cancer centers. And then one thing we've not talked about that I'm really excited about, some of my consulting roles the last few years have been in emergency medicine. The EDs are backed up. They're busy. There's not a lot of times they order a stat cardiac echo, and that can take an hour or two. And because the chaos in the EDs, they don't always get billed for it. So this is, I believe, going to open up a huge, huge pathway to seeing cardiac echo done in the emergency department that is done quickly, that's done, it's billable. And then the patient can either be admitted or go home, reschedule, you know, schedule for an office visit. So I see that as a huge opportunity in the ED as well.
This has been a fascinating story. In our last couple of minutes, I want to raise up, because our audience are mostly independent ambulatory physician practices. They are being approached all the time with various stages of maturity of clinical technology. Now you're telling us a story of here's one where AI literally is changing the landscape. What advice from a guy who looks at a lot of early stage companies, and then you mentioned Medtronic in your background, you've been on the other end, you know, at the largest companies. What advice would you give our physicians as they contemplate some of this new stuff that's coming at them fast? How do they evaluate it? How do they think about it? And decide, should this be, should they jump in early on some of these emerging tools?
I say embrace it. I mean, using Ultracyte as an example, one of the things I'm really excited about as an investor is this is going to augment people's jobs. It's not going to take jobs away. We need more sonographers. This is not going to replace sonographers. This is going to allow people where there are not sonographers to maybe get a higher paying job, right? To be able to get new skill sets, and that acquisition that they're going to take of a cardiac ultrasound, you know, echo, is going to go to a doctor. So it's going to help doctors. You know, I see the same with other companies out there with cardiac CT. There's now all kinds of AI that is looking at plaque, that's augmenting. We're getting data faster. It's actionable data that then doctors can put the patients on a quicker route to therapy and not delaying, because people are getting sick. The delays are so long, often, that patients get sicker and sicker before they even get seen or get into the system.
Thanks for taking us down a little different road than we normally go down. You kind of let us peek through a knothole into a world that you're exploring all the time. Really fascinating stories, and just cool to see this level of innovation potentially really change healthcare. So thanks for sharing your story today.
Well, Tim, thanks for having me, and nice talking to you. Nice seeing you.
Awesome. Ron Guillot, thank you. Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.